You are worthy, Lord, in Bahasakara Bakashi Ebo Sakadiba. Thank you, Jehovah, for your mercies, for your faithfulness, O God, for your goodness and your kindness, O God, Ibakapa Sekedi. We bless your name, O God. We thank you, we adore you, we give you glory, we honor you. Thank you for who you are, O God. Indeed, you are gracious to us, and we thank you for your blessing this morning. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Yeah, praise God, my brother. I trust that God, you are well, and God is keeping you and sustaining you. Yeah, we thank God that we can continue to read his word and to learn from him. And you know, yesterday we started looking at how, you know, the disciples of Jesus were left as witnesses, and they're witnesses of Christ. And one of the things that we said that we have to see that Jesus is on trial, and the main concerns are, is Jesus the Christ? And if he is the Christ, did he resurrect? Because remember, when Jesus resurrected, he was able to meet the disciples. He met, at least the Bible says, at least 500 of the believers met him, and he spent the 40 days through the Holy Spirit giving them commandments and teaching them about the things of the kingdom. And he told them that he will go, and when he comes back, when he goes to the Father, he will ask the Father to send forth another helper, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and who will come to guide us into all truth. And so one of the things that we see in the book of Acts is that both there is the aspect of two witnesses, which is the witness of the disciples, who are the men who are with Jesus, who saw him when he resurrected. And there's also the witness of God, the witness of the Holy Spirit. And this, the Bible says, he confirmed their word. You know, the Bible says they went about preaching, and he confirmed their word with signs, miracles, and wonders. So the signs are given as a testament to the witness, or rather as a witness of the Holy Spirit, that these people are not doing it on their own power. Because what they did, like what we read yesterday, or what Peter and John did, they just told the man, "Such as I have, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And we can see that the man rose up. He was supported by Peter. He rose up and he walked. And so that immediately brought a great concern, because everyone recognized that this was the crippled man who had been crippled for 40 years, over 40 years. And that tells you that if he was pretending, then in the 40 years they would have caught him. But this was a true notable miracle. But then what the elders did is that they told them that, okay, do not preach this word anymore. But we see the courage of Peter and John, and they tell them that, look here, you decide for yourself. Tell us, is it right for us to obey you, or is it right for us to obey God? You make a decision, decide, and let us know what you think is right. Who should we obey? And they decide to obey God. And so, going right ahead into our reading for today, we are going to read Acts chapter 4, and we are going to read how we're going to look at the meditation from Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31, where we will see the response of the believers. Yes, we saw the response of the witness to of Peter and John. They made a commitment that, you know what, we will pray, we will speak the word of God, but then they decide to go back to the believers and inform them. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and the Bible says the believers pray for courage. So verse 23, it says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Or why do the nations rage? You know, why did they waste their time with their futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Verse 28, but everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. And maybe even just to conclude it from verse 32, it says, and all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not theirs. So it was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God's great blessing was upon them. And there were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, one of the apostles, nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So one of the things that we see, and as we mentioned here, is once we start to being witnesses of the gospel, we are bound to experience opposition. And that is a reality, because anytime you are proclaiming the kingdom of God, your target is to rescue people from darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, to bring them into the kingdom of light. And that means that you're going to engage in a warfare. Remember, Christ has already won the warfare for us. He has already given us the victory. And the victory that we are fighting for, the place we are fighting from, is from the place of victory. We already know the end result. The end result is that Christ has already won. When he said it is finished, the devil is defeated. But what we know is that we are dealing with spiritual forces, we are dealing with wickedness, and these are people and, you know, strongholds that have held the mind of people, that have blinded their hearts. They don't believe the truth of the gospel. And unless the word of God comes, unless we stand in opposition, because remember Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So gates are their strongholds. Gates are their places of defense. Gates as where they have held people captive and hostage. So unless we go there with the divine power that God has given us to demolish strongholds and exit, and you know, and strongholds and high walls and towers and machinations of darkness that have held people captive, unless we go with the word of God, we will not be able to rescue the people. And that is why it is so important that we are witnesses, and that God has available and willing witnesses who are willing to go and speak the word of God. So you see, what is the response of the believers? One thing that I love is that they prayed. And one of the things that you see from their prayer is that their prayer was directed at God, recognizing the power, the sovereignty of God, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything in it. That means, first of all, they acknowledge that God owns everything. God is in charge of their lives. You know, when you face threats, when you face difficulties, when you face opposition, when you are a witness for the gospel, One thing that you must recognize is that the sovereignty of God in everything. What does sovereignty mean? It means that God has a right to do whatever he wants. He has a right and he has a divine authority over men, over situations, over circumstances, and everything that is happening happens by his knowledge. Nothing happens to us without our knowledge. Remember, they were arrested, they had been put in prison, they wanted so much to be done to them, but then he tells them that they recognize his sovereignty. And then one thing I love in their prayer is that they know and they use the word of God to their advantage. Look at how they quote the scriptures. They say, "You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit. Why are the nations raging? Why are they so angry?" And this is what we find. Anytime you come, because you bring a different kingdom, you find that the nations, you find that the Gentiles, you find that the opposition is available because they are anti-Christ. They are anti the system. They are anti-God establishing his kingdom. But you see, what does God tell us? They know that, yes, God is sovereign, but more important, there's something they know. They say that God has already stated in his word that the nations waste their time. Whether they're, you know, it's whatever they're planning against the Messiah, against the Christ, they are wasting their time. Why? Because the word of God will still prevail. So the kings of earth, they're prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Messiah. And remember, even when we read in the book of Revelation, it says that, you know, in the battle of, is it Megiddo, where all these nations will conspire together to come and fight against, you know, against the Lord, and the Lord will just come and he will destroy them with the word. Just a word from his mouth, he will destroy all of them. And but one thing that we see is that the believers recognize their place in history. They recognize their place in the word of God. They recognize the authority that God has given them. You see, anytime we are in prayer, and this is something that we've mentioned before, anytime that you are in prayer, you must find your place in scriptures. You must find yourself in scriptures. You must find what is the need and what is God's response to what you're facing. And you can see clearly here, the disciples identified that there is a place in the word of God where the nations are going to be angry, but whatever they are doing is they are wasting their time. This is a promise that they stood upon. And they said, you can see, in fact, it has happened here in this very city. And remember, God is after cities. God is after territories. It's not just in Jerusalem that it was happening or stopped to happen. We'll later see on in Samaria. When Philip went, remember, Simon the sorcerer was already there. He had already bewitched the entire city with all his sorceries, with all his magic, and they had even called him the great power of God. But when Philip went there and preached the Christ, everybody turned. The whole city was turned around. And remember even how they described the disciples. These are the people who have filled this city with this false teaching, with this teaching that they are having. They have corrupted the city. So one thing that we see about God is that God is very positional and very directional in how he positions his people. Whenever there is any place on the face of the earth, God has reserved for himself 7,000. Remember, he told Elijah, "I have kept for myself 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal and who have not kissed Baal, who have not bowed their knee to Baal." So one thing that we see is that it's not just everyone that God allows to be, you know, to come to the forefront. There are those people that God keeps hidden for his own name's sake. There's a reason why he keeps them hidden. In that time, Elijah thought he was the only prophet. But God had 7,000 that he had kept for himself, who he says, "These are mine." And one of the things that you will see is that God, there's a place where God tells Paul that, "Stay in this city because I still have many of my people in this city." So every city, every place you're in, you must recognize that there are those that God has kept. There are those that God will bring to that city. There are those that God will, who he uses to preserve that city. They might never be known by everyone else, but their presence is important because they are witnesses. They are people who are praying. They are people who are serving God. They are people who are calling out to God for the mercy of the city, to God to have mercy on the city. Remember when Abraham was negotiating with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham just kept asking, what if there are 50 people in the city? Will you destroy it? What if there are 30? You know, what if there are 20? And then he asked, what if there are 10? And God said, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy the city. I tell you, if even Abraham had asked for one, God would have said, for the sake of the one, I will not have destroyed the city. And that is why your presence in any city, wherever God places you, as a witness, you carry the very presence of God to that place. And by that, you are his representative. You are a witness. And one thing that you see, the opposition that was there, you can see it was from the high places. It was from the Herod. It was from Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was from the people. It was from the people of Israel. So there are enemies in every side. Remember when Paul says that, you know, we faced opposition, that we faced so much opposition that it was even to the point that we despaired of life, that we thought that we would have died. But God was teaching us not to depend on our own human effort, but to depend on Christ. The Bible says, but everything they did was determined according to your own will. For whatever thy hand and thy counsel had determined before to be done. So everything, even the opposition that we face, everything happens according to the plan of God. You know, I love this message that I was listening to. And he was saying that God told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I put you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. That means that whatever that you're facing, God, there is a place that God knew us even before whatever we are facing came to be, even before opposition came to be, even before the blackout came to be, even before, you know, protests came to be, even before cancer came to be, even before, you know, disappointment came to be, before any of those challenges happened, the Bible says, I knew you. So whatever you face, it is laid to God because God knew and God was there with you and he knew and he planned it, and everything happens according to the plan of God. What was the response of the believers? They prayed for boldness. Courage. I tell you, for us to do the work of God, we need courage. We need boldness to preach the word of God. We need wisdom to preach the word of God. And more importantly, we also need the power, the witness of the Holy Spirit. And this is what they prayed for. They prayed for God, give us boldness in preaching your word. And then number two also, apart from that, heal the people. Heal the people. There are people who are in need of healing. You know, when you encounter sick people, how does it make you feel? When you see someone is that bedridden, someone is that crippled, someone is going through this pain, how does it make you feel? And this is something that they had, that they recognized that God, heal your people, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through your name, through the name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus gave them a name, said, I'm going. Up until this now, you have not asked me for anything. You have not asked me for anything. But I tell you today, ask in the name of Jesus, in this name, and the Father will do it. The Father will do it in my honor of my name, and ask so that your joy may be complete. The reason at times we don't see things happening is because we don't ask. But if we ask in the name of Jesus, in the power, believing that God, that Jesus himself gave us this authority, gave us this right, and remember, we are asking according to the will of God. What was the will of God? The will of God was for them to be witnesses. So they were asking God to give them the courage, to give them the boldness to do the will of God. It's not that, oh, for, you know, for this that they want for themselves. No, you can see that their alignment is to the will of God. God, give us boldness to preach your word. And what also? Stretch out your hand to heal the people with your healing power, and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And one of the things that we see, we've been learning, and this is the spiritual substance that you get in prayer when God has answered you, that you, and this is what we see in verse 31. After this, the Bible says the prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preach the word of God with boldness. Look at how God answers. God answers when we pray by confirming it, by spiritual confirmation, by giving a spiritual substance that gives them the assurance that I have had them. And how did God do it? The Bible says that there was a physical manifestation. The place where there was shaken. In fact, it literally shook. They caused an earthquake. And after that, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, they were already baptized in the Holy Spirit. But now God gives them another infilling. Another infilling. And this is what we can always do. Each time we ask God, each time we ask God for courage, each time we ask God for Him to fill us with the, you know, to perform miracles and wonders, to perform healing among the people, such that it is a witness. Remember, so that it is done through the name of Jesus Christ. So it is such that no one can deny the power of God. No one can deny the presence of God. No one can deny that we are living witnesses. We are living witnesses that this Jesus who died is resurrected and is alive, and He is living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are united, God, and when God gives us that witness, then the Bible says they preached the word of God with boldness. Some people ask for, you know, they ask for the courage, they ask for the miracles. But then God sees their heart. He sees that, yeah, even if I give this one, they're not going to preach. They're not going to be witnesses. They're not ready to go. So people ask in futility. And that's why someone once said that if you want to see miracles, go and preach. If you want to see raw power, go outside there in evangelism. That is a place where you see the actual demonstration of the word of God. Why? Because God wants to witness to the resurrection of His Son. He wants to witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And God uses opportunities such as this, where people are in need, to demonstrate His power. And the outcome of it, the Bible says, the believers were united with one heart and with one mind. And we can see how the fellowship was. The people realized that they are one body. They are one body of Christ. They did not own anything. They realized that everything that is given to them is by the mercy of God. It is by the grace of God. Generosity was poured out in their hearts. Love was poured out in their hearts. The Bible says they shared everything that they had. I tell you, one of the marks that God has filled you with the Spirit, one of the marks that God has revived you, is that you will be generous. You will find that when it comes to the body of Christ, and this is when it comes to meeting the needs of the gospel, you will never struggle in providing for the needs of the gospel. Why? Because you know this is an eternal purpose that God has given us. You'll find, yes, some people say, God bless me so that I can be a kingdom champion, I can be a kingdom financial. And God is faithful, God does it. But then you find someone say, oh no, this is too much money to give to the church. Before you didn't have it, you prayed to God for this. God did it. But then you felt that this is too much money. That is a challenge. But you see, in every way, God can help us to be witnesses through the word, through the preaching. God can help us to be witnesses through service to people. God can help us to be witnesses through providing for the needs of the servants of God, through providing for the needs of others, through sharing. And that's when you realize that everything that we have is a ministry that God has given us. How can it get to a point where the Bible says that there were no needy people among them? Because those who owned land and houses will sell them and bring the money to the apostles, and they will give to those in need. Wherever there was a need, the people met it. That is really a mark of revival. You can see that when the boldness was given, they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God released love, God released generosity, God released the powerful preaching. And you just see verse 33, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see, what is the witness? The witness, and that's what we were saying, the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God desires, and God was using the apostles as witnesses, and God desires even today that we shall continue to be witnesses of his resurrection. And all he tells us is to ask for boldness, ask for wisdom. What is it that you need? Is it resources? Is it money? You know, is it wisdom? Is it power? Is it anointing? You know, is it courage? Whatever it is that you need, and you ask God, he's able to do it. Why? Because it is about capturing the city, it's about taking territory, and it's about being a witness to the gospel. So, in conclusion, we've seen we will face threats. Threats will come, challenges will come, but find your place in Scripture, find the promises of God, ask them in prayer, pray until you get an answer, until you get a spiritual substance, but more importantly, be and continue to be a witness for Jesus. So I'll stop there for today, and I pray that God will give us some reflections on his word, and even give us the courage and the boldness to not only preach his word with courage, but also that God will confirm his word with signs, miracles, and wonders in our midst, that the people will believe that this Jesus is alive and is the Son of the living God. Amen. I will stop there. You're welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah.
The message, I think it teaches us that the face of trial and tribulation, we can always seek for courage from God.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, you realize that it's Father teaching that instead of crying to God to come and intervene in your situation, you come up with faith so that God gives you the courage and wisdom on how to do that. I think that's what the apostles were doing. You also see that aspect of unity, that beyond courage, they thought it was important to be united. And that unity came with sharing, trying to make everyone comfortable and eliminate poverty. But to build on that point of where you're saying that sometimes you pray to be kingdom financiers, and when God is given, has given us, we start second guessing on how much we should give and how much. Father, maybe you look at it. I don't know if you see God will lead you to that tomorrow in chapter 5. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. See. The devil is always alive. Everywhere he sees this unity in Christ. When he sees believers are now beginning to work together, he will always find a way to sneak in, just like he got in the heart of Ananias. After saving it, and he starts lying about the total amount that he sold the land. And his wife. But Christ always, as he is, God is hating liars and sinners. of course, Ananias had to be to be struck dead for that. So I think even as we unite as Christians, we should always be alive to the fact that the enemy is still around. We'll try all possible means to try and, you know, try and interrupt that love and unity that we share as Christians. But yeah, it's thanks for that. I think it's a good good message.
Amen. No, I'm it's good the way you've mentioned of Ananias, and maybe it's something God will help us to look at. And for me, the thing that strikes me about Ananias and Sapphira is the Bible says it was theirs. The light was theirs. I mean, if they wanted to give, it was theirs to give. If they did not want to give, it was theirs not to give. But you see, it's because they saw someone else doing it, and what they wanted to do is the pride. Let people also see we are also doing it. You understand? And that's the problem, even in the church, because we lack revelation that it's not a competition. You give according to how you are led, according to what God places in your heart. And you give cheerfully. But you see, people will always say we are under the grace. Oh, this is the time of the grace. You understand? But was this church, was it not in the time of the grace? Or the grace only came in the time of Paul? No, they were under the grace. But you see, God's word does not change. And that is where you can see, why did you think in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit or to lie against God? And maybe God will help us to look at that tomorrow. But for me, I think it's a heart issue. And that's where you see the envy, where they wanted to be recognized. You see the lying, you see the scheming. So someone, yes, has come to Christ, but the heart is not set right. And maybe even I think you've seen it before. Go and look also at Simon the sorcerer. The Bible says he believed, he was baptized, but then he still wanted the power to sell, to buy the power. Huh? And then there's a word. Yeah, you've read it. Yeah? He wanted, give me this, let me give you money so that you give me this power, so that anyone that I lay my hands. But then there's something, there's a line there that if you read it, it says that I see that your heart is full of jealousy and bitterness, and you're still a captive of sin. Now ask yourself, the Bible says that this person believed, he was baptized. That means he believed, he became a believer, and he followed, he was a member of the church. So you can have believed, you're in the church, you are baptized, but you see the heart. But then when Peter tells him, see, I can see that you have not set your heart right before God. So for me, that word struck me, that there is a place where our heart still has to be aligned right to God, even when we are saying we are in the faith. And this was the problem of Ananias and Sapphira. Their heart was not right before God. And that tells us that is a place that we have to come to full truth and to full understanding of what God expects us to be. Let us pray, and I believe we'll share more tomorrow as God helps us in the place of the heart. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Thank you that, Lord, you show us that in history, you show us that you have determined everything according to your plan, that you are sovereign, that indeed nothing happens against the counsel of your will. And when we see the challenges, when we see the threats, when we see the leaders, when we see the Gentiles, you know, the Israelites, the opposition that we face when we are going to the city to conquer the city for the gospel, when we open our eyes to see, we can see that they rage. But the Bible says, why do the nations rage? Why do they waste their time? Why are they doing whatever in futility? Even you told Saul that, why don't you know it is hard to kick against the thorns? And you see, that is the reality of everyone that opposes the gospel. And Father, I pray that you give us the boldness to be witnesses of the gospel. And beyond that, stretch forth your hand and heal the people, oh God. Release signs, miracles, and wonders in the city where we are, oh God. Give us the boldness to preach your word. Release the miracles. Release the power, oh God. Release the anointing that indeed it shall be a witness of your resurrection, oh God. That we are witnesses that, Lord, you are alive today, oh God, and we do not serve a dead God, but we serve a living God. And on this premise, you say, you shall build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Father, oh God, we thank you for this rock. We thank you for this rock, this revelation that does not come from man, but it comes from you. And I pray for our hearts, oh God. Give us hearts that are aright with you, oh God. Help us to set our hearts right with you, oh God, to remove bitterness, to remove envy, oh God, to remove gall, oh God, to remove, things that make us want to be seen above others, oh God, to remove the spirit of competition, oh God, and to release love, oh God, that, Lord, we may be sons of encouragement, oh God. I pray for courage and wisdom for those that you have blessed, for us that you have blessed, indeed, to serve and to meet the needs of the kingdom, oh God, that there shall be no lack in the house of God, because Father, you are in charge, you are in control, and there's no one else like you, God. I look unto you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever we do, we thank you for the service ahead of us. Release your people to come, oh God, that, Lord, even the various people in the workplaces, that, Lord, should be with them, strengthen and encourage and encourage them, oh God. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day.